Hubbardtaco.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome
and Jim
to
Russ.
Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And it was really hard coming into the studio today. It's so beautiful outside.
I know.
But, I can play Pandora on my iPhone and listen to music anywhere I want. It's just really so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to come into the studio so we could talk a little technology. And, of course, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
It's a whole bunch of pages.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
We got an email from Mary in Bethesda. Dear Doc Schertz, I often find people on LinkedIn that I'd like to be able to send an email to, but I don't have a paid level of access to LinkedIn and therefore can't send an email to them. I've learned over time that if you know where someone works and on LinkedIn, a current position is listed, you can go to Google and search for example, at adintel.com, and often somebody's email will come up and you can learn the recipe of what other emails are like. What I'm wondering is hasn't somebody come up with like a master list or resource where you can actually go and look up what the format of, say, email addresses are at AT&T or at Verizon or at any company in particular. I hope you and Jim have a great summer. This show of yours is a treasure. I've got to read the good stuff. And you serve the listeners with a beneficial resource that I find of real value. Well, thank you, Mary.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, that was a great idea, Mary, resource. When I looked around for a resource like that, I mean, that sounds like a good money-making idea.
Now, if she's wishing us a happy summer in May, is she like planning to go off to the islands or something like that, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know what her plans are. Maybe in a subsequent email she'll let us know. Because maybe she's not – does that mean you're not going to listen to the show in the summer?
I hope we, and if she is away from the radio, of course, and we'll talk about this later, there's the podcast.
There's the podcast, or else you can have the TuneIn application on your iPhone, and you can listen to the streaming audio directly over the internet anytime. Well, first of all, Mary, that was a good idea. I looked for it. There's nothing like that at all, and I looked everywhere. Now, the good news is, for $10 a pop, you can send an email. So if you just want to pay $10, you can send an email to anybody on LinkedIn and they'll put it through, whether you have a paid account or not. Now, the thing with LinkedIn, if you want to send anybody an email, they have to be a first connection or a second connection or a third connection, and that's about it, and you can't send it to anybody else. So it could be that you could join some groups that perhaps these guys would be in, and you just broaden the number of connections that you have.
You can send an email to somebody that you're connected with, can't you?
Yeah. If they're first, second, or third related.
It's free.
It's free.
Okay.
You can send them. But if you want to send it to somebody that maybe is, six levels away from you,
you got to pay for it.
You have to pay for it unless you've got one of these premium accounts that will give you 5, 10, or 15, what they call in-mails a month, free. But if you don't have a premium account, you can just pay $10 and send it. Now, there are ways to look up email addresses, and you sort of hinted at that. You want to do first name, last name, and put it in quotation marks. We're Googling this because you want to get the particular name, and then you write the next word is email because you're looking for the word email in there, and then you put @ then whatever domain it is, @AT&T.com. That is correct, Mary. And if you put email and @ the domain and their first and last name in quotation marks, chances are you'll pick it up. However, you're only going to be searching web pages, and a lot of times people try to keep their email address off the web pages. So what you can do is that you can search for documents. So like you could, at the end, you could put file type, colon, say, XLS for Excel spreadsheet, and you could search only XLS spreadsheets. Or you could put file type .pdf and search only PDF files. And so frequently people will not have their email address on a web page, but they'll post a PDF paper to the web, and you can find it that way. And that actually works pretty well. But you can only put down one file type at a time, not more than one. So you search, and it was really interesting. I was playing around with this morning, you know, because I prepare TikTok every Saturday morning, get up at 2:30. It's my regular routine.
It's doc time.
It's doc time, and nobody nobody bothers me. Nobody bothers me at 2:30 at night. So I was looking around, and I was searching for a file type, Excel spreadsheets. My goodness, I could find so many Excel spreadsheets that were just available to the Internet with all kinds of, like, employee data, you know, email addresses. It was unbelievable. Yeah. People don't realize what's out there. So, mm-hmm. So then I started looking around some more, and there are certain companies, you know, that collect these lists of emails that they addresses that they sell. That's one of the techniques they use to harvest them.
Huh.
So, as an aside, if you work for a company, I'd check for document types to see whether your company's got anything which is open to the Internet that could easily be picked up.
You know, it's funny because on LinkedIn, I don't use it a whole lot, but this was curious to me because I didn't realize that I knew there were different levels of service. Mm-hmm. You had to pay for some of it, but I'm thinking, well, that's maybe why somebody didn't respond to one of my emails, but it is a first-tier connection. Maybe they just don't like
that. Yeah, first year is going to go right through.
They probably don't like me if they didn't.
Are you still connected to them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they didn't terminate the connection.
No.
So it's not total dislike.
It's just maybe indifference.
Indifference, yeah.
Okay. Which is actually worse than dislike.
It could be. Okay, we got an email from Tung in Ohio. Tung is one of our regular listeners from Ohio. Yeah, we've got a whole bevy of folks up there in Ohio. Dear Doc and Jim, my friend has been sending me small videos via text messages.
Uh-oh. Well, this family's been having trouble with texting.
Small videos via text message. It already sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to make my own movies. Oh, come on, Thong. Come on. I don't think this is a good idea.
No.
I'd like to be able to make my own movies and send them via text messages. Now, these are private movies. Okay.
I bet they are.
So I want to be able to send them myself.
Oh.
Yeah. How can I do this? We listen to the live stream each Saturday morning. Love the show. Thung in Ohio.
And she's probably blushing right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have put your name on this email.
Jane Doe in Ohio.
Okay. Well, first of all, Thung, you cannot send a movie with text messages. All you can do with a text message is you can attach a picture. Now, in your case, the image looks like a movie because it's formatted not as a normal JPEG, but as a GIF, mm-hmm. as a GIF format. And it turns out that GIF stands for Graphics Interchange Format, and it's a bitmap image that was introduced by CompuServe in 1987. And it's got a lot of usage, and one of the ways that it's used, it can display a fast succession of separate images that look like a movie. So those are called animated GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the GIF and you might take, say, 20 frames or 30 frames and ask the format to play each one of those frames sequentially and at the end loop back to the beginning, you'll see that GIF just going in an infinite loop that looks like a movie that just mm-hmm. goes on forever. So there are a number of ways to produce GIFs, actually. They're very popular. And so if you want to send a movie-like thing with a text message, you have to make your GIF first. Now, if you have Photoshop, which unfortunately costs a few $100s, it's the most convenient way to do it. You can make animated GIFs with Photoshop. You just create a series of images in the Photoshop, or you take a series of images that you want to make into a GIF, and then you can load all of those up into one, you stack them on top of each other as different layers. And then you can simply tell Photoshop to turn that into a GIF for you. And it'll just run through the layers, and it will convert all the layers into different frames, and you'll get your GIF coming right out of it. It's very easy to do. It's quite easy to handle. Now, the other nice thing that Photoshop does allow you to do, it allows you to take a video and turn it into a GIF. So it will read MPEG format, MP4 format, AVI format, or MOV formats. These are all different movie formats. And you simply bring that up into Photoshop and tell it you want to convert it into a GIF and you say how much, how long is the sequence, how many frames, it will actually then take and snap frames of that particular movie and turn it into a GIF for you. It's very quick. Very nicely done. I think a lot of the animated GIFs on the internet are probably just movies that have been converted to GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking, Tony, that you don't want to spend $300 on Photoshop.
Doesn't sound like it.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you're that this is going to be more of a budget movie. So, let me give you some
let me give you some
low cost options here. You've got Picasion, P-I-C-A-S-I-O-N, Picasion.com, lets you create an animated GIF by uploading individual photos. Now, you have got to resize them so they're all the same dimension, and you can upload them directly from your PC. It also will let you upload them from, say, Flickr or from Picasa. These are like web-based methods for pictures. Now the other nice thing it has, you can actually turn on your webcam, and you can turn your web and you can set your webcam up so that it will take flashes. It will take a series of pictures, and you can upload those directly to the site just right from your webcam. So you can just make a movie and get the GIF right away. Now that's free. That's Picasion.com, P-I-C-A-S-I-O-N. It works just fine, and it won't let you make huge. I mean, it limits the number of frames and the size, but for most uses like that you would have, I think that would work just fine. Now another good option is GIF Ninja, GIF Ninja, G-I-F-N-I-N-J-A. Now, GIF Ninja, if you've got a video file that's smaller than 20 megabytes, you can simply upload the movie directly to GIF Ninja. It'll accept it as an upload, and it will turn the first few frames into a nice animated GIF. So that could be a quick way to do it. So there you go, Tung. I hope you enjoy making your private movies.
We're not getting into the content.
No, we're just not going to get into that at all. We've got an email from Sophia in Alexandria. Dear Tech Talk, I have an advertising pop-up on my computer that I just can't get rid of. When I do any kind of search, my browser will come up with a particular site, but I click on the site and I keep coming up with this same website, which is for some kind of prize. What's happening? I'm using Windows XP and Internet Explorer 9. What should I do? Thanks, Sophia in Alexandria. Well, Sophia, your browser has been hijacked. Now, a browser hijack is a type of malware that infects your system. Once downloaded, it waits until you do an Internet search. And when it sees a page with search results, it updates those results with its own links to advertisements or other websites. So no matter what you click on, you'll see whatever the malware wants to show you. You're just stuck with it. Now, you definitely want to treat this malware. Now the good news is it's sending you to a site that is just for contests. Some of the sites they send you to actually will further infect your machine, and they're very dangerous sites to go to. Hopefully that's not the site that it's been sending you to. Now, my first suggestion would be make certain you're running up-to-date antivirus software and anti-spyware. Chances are you didn't have updated stuff or you wouldn't have gotten it. It also sounds like that since you probably need to scan your system. Now, one free system for scanning is Malwarebytes, M-A-L-W-A-R-E-B-Y-T-E-S. It's a free tool. Available for download from malwarebytes.org. So you can download that. You can scan your machine if you don't want to update your antivirus or buy antivirus, and that should take care of it. Now, once you get the malware off your computer, just kind of watch what you're doing. You tend to pick this stuff up when you go to certain sites that really aren't trustworthy,
mm-hmm.
and also make certain not to click on attachments to emails that you just don't trust. So make those, just be vigilant. You probably stay away from it, and always keep your antivirus and your anti-malware software up to date. We got an email from VJ in Sri Lanka. Dear Tech Talk, I'm in Colombo, Sri Lanka, and I listen to the podcast each week. Wow. My computer is locked up, and I'm told that in order to unlock it, I'll have to pay $300.
This happened in one of the newsroom computers.
They are implying that I've done something wrong.
Uh-huh.
They're probably trying to scare the bejesus out of you with whatever they're saying. What should I do? I love the show, VJ. Well, VJ, we talked about this two or three weeks ago with the FBI scam. You've been infected with ransomware. Now, what it does, just as with the FBI scam, where it shows a big official FBI page saying that you've done something with child pornography just to scare you, they probably have some other sort of pseudo enforcement page up there that's scaring you that you've done something wrong. Now, ransomware is a type of malware that tries to get you to pay in order to unlock your computer. And they have various ways to get you to pay. They threaten you, and then they have you go to some anonymous way to transfer money to them. Now, this ransomware is delivered as part of malware's payload. It may be delivered by an exploit kit such as Black Hole, which exploits vulnerabilities on effective computers to silently install and execute the malware. There are a lot of prepackaged programs out there that people can use to actually load this malware on your machine. You don't have to be an expert on coding. You just can get a hold of the software that does it. Now, earlier attempts at ransomware tend to be simpler, but recently there have been more blatant attempts where they try to actually have police-themed ransomware that try to disguise their ransom demands as official-looking warning messages like that FBI system.
Yeah.
Okay, in most cases, there is one side. There's F-Secure Easy Clean Removal Tool. F-Secure Easy Clean Removal Tool. You can Google that, F-Secure Easy Clean Removal Tool. And I'll put a link to it. And you simply go on that site. You can click it, and this removal tool will actually remove this ransomware from your computer quite conveniently. And if it's completely locked up, you go to another computer, you can download and get a CD image in order to boot up and use this thing. So that's actually pretty good. There are other legitimate vendors out there that have cleanup tools, but F-Secure is pretty good. We got an email from Don. Dear Tech Talk, I would like to use Google Drive on my PC and my iPhone. How does it work? Love the show. Thanks, Don. Well, Google Drive is an internet-based storage system, cloud storage, as they say. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do in order to access Google Drive, you have to set up an account and have applications. So what you want to do on your iPhone, you download the Google Drive application. Once you download the Google Drive application, they're going to ask you to create an account. Now, you use the same username and password as you have for Gmail. So put in your Gmail username and your Gmail password, and when you put those into the Google Drive application, it creates a Google Drive account for you on the Google servers. Now, in order to synchronize with your PC, go to your PC, you could just go to Google Drive, and then you can log into Google Drive web page, and you can see the files have been uploaded from your iPhone. But if you'd like the files to actually be on your PC, you can download a Google Drive application for your PC. So simply go to Google Drive, Google Drive, and then you'll get there, and there's a button that says download the application. Download that application to your PC, and you'll go through the same thing. It will say give me a username and password. You put in your Gmail username and password, and when you do that, that application creates a Google Drive on your PC, which is then synchronized with the cloud. So it's really quite nice. It doesn't synchronize quite as fast as the Apple iCloud. I was sort of checking synchronization times. Apple iCloud synchronizes within a couple of minutes. Sometimes this took up to 10 minutes before I was able to say I transferred a picture to the Google Drive folder in my iPhone. It took about 10 minutes to show up on my PC, but actually it's pretty convenient. So Google Drive is one of those cloud-based storage devices. You've also got the Microsoft SkyDrive, and you've got the Apple iCloud. All of these are competing products trying to get you to use their tools.
We thank you for your emails. We always like them. And how would folks send you a question if they have something
they'd
like to know
about?
Yeah,
we love your emails. So send us emails to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll get that right to you. We'll talk about it on the next show, or else we'll write directly back to you. And also, we want you to go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/techtalkonline. We'll look for comments during the show. And, of course, you can always check us out on techtalkonline.com, and you can sign up for the podcast either there or on Apple iTunes.
And, of course, you can learn more about our fine sponsors at Stratford University by going to stratford.edu. You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. More Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
You better get
Welcome
back
to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University, and now it is time for...
Whoa. Wait a minute. Come on now.
There we go.
Mr. Big Voice was out roaming the halls again. There he is.
We're going to have to keep Mr. Big Voice chained to the desk here. Uh-huh. Well, today we're going to be talking about John T. Draper, otherwise known as Captain Crunch, a former phone freak.
I'm hungry.
Now, he was named after the Captain Crunch mascot. After Captain Crunch, which is the mascot
of
a cereal guy. You remember Captain Crunch cereal? I remember that.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
How could forget?
Now, Draper was born in 1944, the son of a U.S. Air Force engineer. Draper himself entered the Air Force in 1964, and while stationed in Alaska, he helped his fellow servicemen make free phone calls home by devising an access method to the local telephone switchboard. Despite that, he was honorably discharged from the Air Force in 1968 and did military-related work for several employers in the San Francisco Bay Area. He was sort of the ultimate counterculture guy. He operated a pirate radio station out of a Volkswagen van for a while. Now, John Draper had a friend named Joe Engracia, who was later known as Joy Bubbles, as his handle on the internet, and Joe or Joy Bubbles was blind, and he and several of his blind friends had perfect pitch, and they would sit around and they could whistle their way through the phone system, and Joe invited John Draper to come to one of their whistling meets when they were going around the, breaking into the phone system. So John Draper went to visit his friend Joe. He arrived there, opened up the door. The entire house was dark. And Joe said, well, all my friends are blind. We don't need any lights. So they turned on the lights for John, and they demonstrated their method. And it turned out that Joe, or Joy Bubbles, had perfect pitch. He, in fact, could whistle the exact frequency that was required to control the AT&T long lines, which was 2600 hertz. And so he learned how to do that. Now, it also turned out that at the same time, Captain Crunch's bosun whistle was given as a free toy in Captain Crunch. And the Captain Crunch bosun whistle was exactly tuned to 2600 hertz. Could I hear that bosun whistle?
Yeah, we can hear that. You know, if you're listening at home, you might want to cover your ears.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's 2600 hertz. Whoa, that
you
is
know what? That had an unexpected, an unintended effect.
Yeah.
Oh, look outside the window.
Oh, there's a police car. There's a police car over there too.
We need to get him away from that tree.
Yeah,
that's the David Byrd tree.
Yeah. Well, the Captain Crunch bosun whistle was released in 1971. Now, it turned out this 2600 tone was very interesting. Whenever a long line, an AT&T long line was idle, there had to be a tone that indicated that the line was available but idle, and they would run a 2600 hertz signal on an idle line, indicating that it could be picked up.
Why did you make me do that? My ears are still ringing.
No, so what they discovered is that they could make a toll-free phone call, and they could then whistle the 2600 pitch, and the other end would release the phone line, thinking that it was idle, and then they could do whatever they would want, and they could whistle their way around the world. So it turned out that Draper, of course, loved this idea. He could not whistle the 2600 pitch like his friend Joy Bubbles could. Oh, that's so much. That sounds
Thank
much
you.
Better. He couldn't whistle it, so he started initially using the Captain Crunch bosun whistle. But later on, he developed the famous Blue Box.
Ah.
Because the Blue Box had the 2600 tone. But then if you want to start whistling around and go from switch to switch, you had to have other tones at different times. So he had a Blue Box that had all the tones that were needed to walk through the system.
You know, Captain Crunch needed to come up with a bunch of different bosun whistles. That way, it would keep the kids buying the cereal because you'd get a new whistle every week.
That's exactly right. Well, Captain Crunch was really riding high back in 71. He was like king of the heap. And
1972 sort of changed things.
72 changed the thing. Hackers, 2600 has become infamous with hackers. That's sort of the beginning of the whole hacker community. There's the Hacker Quarterly, which is named 2600, because it comes from the 2600 hertz used to freak the phone system. Well, in 1971, an Esquire magazine article came out about John T. Draper and Captain Crunch and all of it, and it explained exactly how he did it. And that's when he got in trouble. AT&T said, look, now everybody's doing it, just not a few high techies. And all people are now, they got plans to build the Blue Box. Everybody was getting a Blue Box. So in 1972, Draper was arrested for toll fraud charges and sentenced to 5 years probation. Now,
got off easy.
Now, he forced the phone companies to invest a lot of money because back then they were using what they call in-band switch control, where in the communication band or the audio band, they would use these tones to control the switches.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, and that was the so-called signaling system 5, SS5. They had to go to an out-of-band signaling system. So in 1977, they went to SS6. 1980, they went to SS7, signaling system 7, which is an out-of-band way to control the switches, so you couldn't use the tones to control it. And they spent billions to try to circumvent the techniques that Captain Crunch had been developed. Now, it turns out that this Esquire article brought him to the attention of Steve Wozniak, of course, was the co-founder of Apple. He was the guy that actually built the first Apple. They called him the Woz. Well, the Woz was really interested in the phone freak. So while the Woz was in college, he sent a letter to Draper and invited him to come to school and make a talk. And they treated him like a visiting god. And I watched a video of Woz talking about this thing, and he said they had him come out, and they went out to a payphone, and they were going to use the Blue Box. And while they were gathered in the payphone working with the Blue Box, a police car rolled up. And so Woz said they were all trying to put this Blue Box around there, putting it in their pocket. The policeman thought they were doing some kind of drug deal there. So then he saw the Blue Box. He says, well, what is the Blue Box? He says, well, this is my keyboard synthesizer for making music. And so the policeman was trying to play songs with it. He says, you're going to have to go back. He says, this is just not going to work as a synthesizer. He didn't even know what a Blue Box was.
He didn't know what it was. Well, it's a good thing.
So Steve Wozniak almost got arrested with Captain Crunch. Later on, Draper wrote Easy Rider, which was the first word processor for Apple II. That was in 79. Then he ported Easy Rider to an IBM PC, and he beat Bill Gates to the IBM word processor contract. And actually, Draper started a company called Captain Software. He should have gotten, you know, he should have come up with Microsoft. Over 6 years, he got less than $1 million in revenue. It wasn't exactly that successful. In the 80s, Draper worked for Autodesk but was laid off. He currently writes computer software and hosts Crunch TV on the Internet. He's portrayed in a movie on Pirates of Silicon Valley. He inspired Kevin Mitnick, who was the first well-known computer hacker, because as soon as people started phone freaking, and then they hooked computers to the phone system, and then Kevin Mitnick said, well, why don't we do that? And so there we go. John T. Draper, a man who is infamous in the beginning of the hacking movement.
Well, so we profile people who've had positive impact on technology and those who are just ne'er-do-wells, and I'd say Crunch. So anyway, okay, Captain Crunch. Crunchberries, good or bad, Naveed?
Crunchberries were awesome.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Didn't they also have peanut butter Captain Crunch for a while?
They did. The ones that I liked better were not Captain Crunch, but the Boo Berries.
Oh,
those were great.
Yeah, that's a totally different cereal. I think
it is.
That was in the Count Chocula family.
Did you ever have a Captain Crunch Bosun Whistle?
I did not.
I think I did.
I was unfortunate. I didn't have one of those.
I think I did.
I went on eBay last night to see if I could get one on eBay. There are none available on eBay. They are in high demand. These are like major collector items now.
Wow,
the Captain Crunch.
It's Saturday morning, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by. More of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. Nope, it's not Monty Hall. It's not Ed McMahon. It's not Dr. Richard Schertz. It's this guy right here.
And I would be that aforementioned guy right here. My name is Jim Ross. I'm the adjunct professor for lowering academic standards at Stratford University. We just talked about John T. Draper, one of the original computer hackers. In his early exploits, he used this item found in a box of cereal. If you can tell me what that item is, you win tickets for two, fine dining at the Escoffier at Stratford University on the campus in Falls Church, or at the Cafe Karim at the campus in Woodbridge. To get the answer to us, you need to pick up the phone and call us right now. If you're calling from east of Juneau, Alaska, it's 877-936-9333. Calling from west of San Francisco, California, it's 877-936-9333. And everybody else can use the wild card line. That's 877-936-9333. The Pop Quiz on Tech Talk Radio.
The website of the week, Corked D. You know, dude, you drink much wine, Jim?
No, I don't.
You don't drink much water.
No, only when I'm putting together a computer. Like, you know, I know that's how you do it, right?
Yeah, you're not going to be... you're not probably going to enjoy this particular website. Well, CorkD, CORKD.com.
I do like it. I just don't drink a lot of it. I can't. I'm not supposed to.
You know, one of the problems with wine, you know, you go down to the wine store to look around for wine, and, you know, the bottles all look the same, and you try to talk to the guy down there, and you just get some wine double talk.
Yeah. That's how I buy wine. When I'm buying wine for somebody, it's what the label looks like. That's what I do.
That's right. So you come back with, like, Barefoot in the Park or something.
Or something in a box.
Yeah, something in a box. That's right. Well, you know, box wines actually are innovative in that they don't oxidize because the bag shrinks around
exactly.
the wine. So the last glass of boxed wine is as good as the first glass. Now
the problem is the first glass isn't that good to begin
exactly,
with.
Now that is the problem, but it doesn't get worse. It just starts bad. But this corked website, CORKD, is a very nice website. It's a way to rate wines, and so you log on. It's like one of these. You create a username, and then you can create a wine journal where this is where you rate and review the wines that you've tried. And you can look at what other people have rated their wines. You've got a wine cellar where you can list the wines that you would like to own but haven't tried yet. You can have a shopping list of this is where you keep track of the wines you'd like to buy. Your contact list, you call drinking buddies. You can add other Cork members on as drinking buddies so that each time they review a new wine, you're alerted to your drinking buddy's taste. And then you can, of course, make recommendations, and then all your drinking buddies then are alerted to your recommendations. This is actually pretty nice.
It's a very cool idea.
It's a great idea. I was looking around there, and you'll run across somebody's preference on a particular wine, and it is probably a recommendation you're not going to find anywhere else. It's just a great way to get people collaborating and talking about wine. It's a very, very good idea. That's CorkD, CORKD.com. It's actually a free website, and it was kind of fun to look around. So, I kind of enjoyed that.
So, Doc, what would be on your recommendation list?
I'm guessing the Doc would like the Falling Star Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. Right?
No,
there's a lot of aunts in there.
I have to tell you, I'm kind of partial to $3 Chuck.
$3 Chuck.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with his work. Although I think after one glass, I probably would be.
Yeah,
how about Guinness? No, that's not a wine. You can't put that on.
No,
how about Ernest and Julio Gallo?
No.
Bartles and James? No. Okay.
Bartles and James, yes.
So that is the website of the week.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, heard in the Washington area, over the broadcast airwaves on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM, HD2, on the internet worldwide at techtalkonline.com. More of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology, and we've got a visitor who just walked in
and we need
the
to play
studio.
His, we need to do this
okay.
first.
Okay.
Daddy, don't start to in.
Hi, folks. This is David Berg.
Don't start to make it
pop. But, you know, he is the party man around here.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Is my party on?
There's your music.
Am I tardy for the party?
You're not tardy. Yeah. No, the party doesn't start until you walk in.
I don't want to be tardy for the party. Anyway, I didn't get to hear the intro, but I'm sure it was quite lovely.
It is.
It was really lovely.
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry. Thanks for letting me bust up your show here. But I always come down here for knowledge, okay? And I don't know if this qualifies.
You're not getting free food down here, that's for sure.
Well, that's for darn sure.
Mm-hmm. We ate the food already.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this qualifies as tech talk material, but I'll just throw it out there and just hit the buzzer if I'm...
Okay,
I may be at the wrong show.
As possible. Okay.
Doc, you're all-knowing, all-knowledgeable all about all things that move and technical and gizmos. Yes. This is kind of a gizmo thing.
Okay.
And you might have to do homework on this. I'm looking to buy, now this is crazy, I'm looking to buy remotely operated gates for my driveway.
Good grief.
No, wait a minute, no. It's not because I have some palatial palace, but I have neighbors now. There was an empty lot in front of my place, and now they're going to be building a custom home. I had kids ringing my doorbell for the first time in 12 years last week, and I'm going, okay, is this what it's going to be? Do you have any? I'm not looking to spend $1 zillion on this. Is there a remote or some kind of gates or gizmo that you can do to help?
Well, see, you're going to have to see who's there. Or are you just going to open it? Are you going to open it for guests? Yeah. Or are you assuming there will never be a guest?
Oh, there'll be guests. All right.
Will there be secret knocks that you need to use to get in?
Well, I've never had anybody knock on my door. This person, she has got two kids, 1 5 and 1 6. All of a sudden, it's 5 o'clock Thursday having dinner. Ding, 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 ding. Exactly. Dog is going crazy. The dog goes crazy like it's a Domino commercial. And I'm going, I'm going to kill whoever's ringing my doorbell. Nobody ever comes to my house without calling first.
So what you can do, I'll do a little research. You could get a gate that would actually be activated by an RFID right in your car.
I love that.
Like the smart pass.
Yes.
You come up and the gate opens up for you.
Okay.
And then you have to decide, when a guest is there, how will you let them in?
Okay.
Yeah. So you remote. Would, well, you
smartphone?
You'd have a button in the house.
Right.
That would just be wirelessly connected, but they'd have to talk to you.
Oh, that's right. They got to talk, don't they?
So they would get, the other thing that you could do is you could put a code on the gate.
Oh, give them a code.
You could give them a code, but then that means, you know.
I have no control.
You have no control.
I want total control of the fort.
Or this. There you go.
Exactly. So that's a good control. Yeah.
But then if you want to have people come to your house for, like, mow the grass, sometimes it would be convenient.
And you don't have that problem. You're looking at the mower right here.
You might not be there, and so...
This is like a step away from digging a moat, okay? I hate neighbors. I just hate neighbors. I just do. And now that they've got kids, I'm going, oh, this is great. I can't sit on the front porch anymore.
Then what you could do is you could just have people call you on your cell phone number, right. and then you'll press a button and let them in.
I love that.
And so if they don't know your cell phone number, they can't get in.
I love that. See? If you don't have my number, you have no business coming over anyway.
Right. So if they don't have your number, so just say call the number, and if they call the number, then you'll let them in.
You know the Dennis the Menace cartoon where it's Mr. Wilson?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I am becoming Mr. Wilson. I have become Mr. Wilson. Yeah. I really have.
Aren't there times where you stop and think, my God,
I'm Mr. Wilson. What happened?
Old.
I'm getting old, man.
The thing is that I'm now, I guess if we had something that operated over your iPhone,
right.
then you could let somebody in the house when you're not there.
Now that's what I'm loving. Mm-hmm. I'm loving that.
Mm-hmm. So let me do a little I'm trying to figure out your specifications through a series of questions.
I just want to be able to open
it's
the
like
stinking gates.
Having
that's
your
all,
own personal remotely. Contractor, isn't it?
I know it really is.
Yeah.
I know.
I'll do a little research on iPhone connected devices.
I like the moat idea. I think we should just go dig a moat around.
Before
the
I
house.
Leave, let me just recreate the situation. A guy who's never had a neighbor, okay, suddenly the doorbell rings like 17 times.
Never had in this house, you've never had
in this house.
Right.
never had a neighbor. Door rings 17 times. I'm going to kill whoever it is and ring my door. I'm in a dog park, and I got to hold Diesel the pit bull back. And I crack the door, and I get out the door, and I can't. And I know this woman because she's been walking around the property. I said, can I help you? You know, and her little boy's the one been ringing the doorbell. And as we're talking, he gets in my garden and starts picking up stones and throwing them in the lawn. I go, hey, little man. Hey, little man. Hey, you want to control your kid?
It's appropriate because I have perfect.
So you don't want to buy Girl Scout cookies?
No,
people coming around the neighborhood?
I don't want Halloween. I don't want anybody on the lawn. Get off the lawn.
Oh, Halloween must be a nightmare for you.
It's not. Nobody shows up.
Oh, yeah, but
I'm
now,
way off the street here.
Now they will. Now they will.
We.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do a little research for you. Come
I'm
back.
I'm getting the BO now.
That's right.
Okay. No, he's going to do this, but I really think a moat and a dragon is your
I'm
best
loving
bet.
The moat idea. If I could just get the drawbridge without spending a fortune.
Remote control. Control dragon.
Yeah,
there you go. A little fire breathing.
Doc, I'm not looking for a plywood solution here. I'm willing to spend a couple of grand.
Okay.
Is that unrealistic?
No, it's not unrealistic.
Okay. Look at Mr. Yeah. Moneybags over here.
Well, no. Hey, if you'd have been at my house on Thursday.
You got the cameras?
Got the cameras.
You want a fence and a moat?
All I need is some kind of missile system. For helicopters flying up 270.
Doc, you have the blimp thing, too. You know what we could do?
I used to have a remote-controlled blimp.
You know
that I'd fly around the house.
The blimp and a camera on the blimp. That way he could do, like, continuous surveillance around the entire property.
I used to freak out guests that would visit me. I'd fly this blimp. This remote control would fly around the house, this remote control blimp.
You know those helicopters they sell at the mall?
Yeah.
You ever buy one of those? I've been dying to buy one of those.
Oh, I buy those.
And buzz the dogs with them?
The camera, and you need some sort of like missile system on the helicopter, and you're set.
Okay, I think I'd better do some research.
Are you done
maybe
with me now?
On some like remote control aircraft to fly around your estate so you can see what's going on.
I want my own drones. I want my own drones.
Your drones. Hello, who's down there? Who's down there? And you've got a speaker on there.
I groan for drone.
Okay.
This is funny. This is the Mr. Wilson of the 21st century.
I'm Mr. Wilson. I have turned into Mr. Wilson.
Get off my lawn!
I know, and I'm ashamed, but
we'll expand this piece to a little bit of high-tech security
this
items, including opening the gates.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. Opening the gates. We're going to find these, okay?
It's remote control for drones.
Listen, I'm not looking for Dan Snyder's strength gates, okay? It's not that kind of situation. I just want something.
It's two kids. It's two kids.
And they're boot top size, just enough to get them
out. How about electric fence? Would that work?
I love it. We can put collars on those kids. That would be great. Okay, I'm done now.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2. Have questions about technology? Send them to Dr. Schertz by going to techtalkonline.com, and we'll answer them live here on the radio. Learn more about our sponsors by going to stratford.edu. More of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet,
and IT careers, here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology, and now we're going to talk a little food science.
I love to talk food. I like to eat food.
And the topic on today's plate is tea.
That's very good.
Yes.
Except if you had tea on your plate, it would really be tough to
I
drink.
I know. I don't drink tea on
tea
my
in your
plate.
Cup.
No. Only when I try to cool the tea. Now, tea was discovered by Shen Nong, 2737 BC in China.
It's a long time ago.
Long time. He was a Chinese emperor. This was back. He's probably lived around in around Xi'an, which is the ancient capital of China. Now, the legend has it that dried leaves blew into his cup of hot water, and he discovered that it tasted quite good. Now, see, at that time, they boiled water for hygienic purposes, so they wouldn't get all kinds of bacteria stuff. Yeah, so they tended to drink boiled water, and some leaves blew into his boiling water, and he said, "Well, this is not bad." And so the Japanese have been actually using tea and drinking tea for over 5,000 years. Now, Japan was introduced to tea by Yensai, who was a returning Buddhist priest who had lived in China. And so then they began, drinking tea in China. The East India Tea Company brought tea to Holland much later. This is much, much later. But it was very expensive, about $100 per pound. In 1650, tea was brought to the American colonies in New Amsterdam, which was later called New York. And soon the colonists were drinking more tea than on all of England. Russia discovered tea when ornate chests of dried leaves were sent to the Tsar Alexander by the Chinese embassy in Moscow in 1618, and it became then a Russian custom to sip heavily sweetened tea from a glass in a silver holder. They also enjoyed contributing their ethnic contribution, which is, of course, known as vodka, the national beverage of Russia.
National beverage of Shirtsville.
That's right. Now, the... It turned out that the tea bag came as a surprise. Samples of tea at the turn of the 20th century were given out in small silk bags to customers. Now, the customers were supposed to open the bags and put the loose tea in the cup. Well, they thought that they were supposed to drop the whole silk bag into the cup.
Well, it's not a bad idea.
And so what happened, the customer said, "We'd like more of these silk tea bags." And so the company, went into big production. It was sort of a surprise hit. And so they started that tea company actually patented the tea bag. Now, it turned out that the four-sided tea bag, the so-called double tea bag, the flow-through tea bag, that was invented by a man with the name of Thomas J. Lipton. That's kind of the history.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing, how they make tea, tea comes from different types of tea plants. And I'm going to talk about black, green, and oolong teas.
Okay.
They actually all come from the same plant, Camellia sinensis. It's an evergreen plant, but the difference between the three teas comes on how they're processed. Now, the first thing, after they pick the tea leaves, they put it through a process of withering. Now, this is where they put the newly picked leaves out to dry, and they run forced air, hot air, through them, and they basically remove a lot of the water till they bring it down. About 30% of the water is remaining.
Mm-hmm.
After they've withered it and they've reduced the water content, they roll it. They roll the tea leaves, and they break them. They're twisted, they're rolled, and so then it's broken up. And they also sometimes shake it. At this point, oils are released in the rolling and breaking process, and this is what gives tea the distinctive aroma. The teas, after they've been rolled, they can either be rolled by machinery or by hand, and the juices that are released remain on the leaves, and a chemical change will occur shortly. The next process is oxidation. Now, this is the process where where oxygen is absorbed by the oils. Now, this process begins as soon as the membranes are broken during the rolling process. Now, oxidation causes the leaves to turn a bright copper color. Now, this is the main point. This is the main area where you get the distinction between green tea, oolong tea, and black tea. If you basically don't allow it to oxidize, but immediately dry it or fire it, which ends the oxidation, you have green tea. If you let it oxidize a long time before you fire it, which ends the firing, it just dries all the remaining water out, you have black tea. Now, if you let it oxidize somewhere in between that time, you have oolong tea. So the amount of oxidation really determines whether it's green tea, oolong tea, or black tea.
And that has to do with a lot with the health benefits of the tea, too, doesn't it? Because green is better for you than black.
That's right. Green tea is much healthier. It has
of the antioxidant properties.
Which of course are destroyed by the oxidation process, the antioxidants.
Now, do you know much about white tea? Because white tea is somewhere around green, and I'm not sure if it is better or just not quite as. Of course, I've taken us down a road that we can't answer.
Yeah, I don't really know much about white tea. Now, black tea, they let it oxidize for several hours. Green tea is oxidized. They just skip the oxidation process. And oolong tea is oxidized for about half as long as black tea. And honestly, until I got into this, I did not know what oolong tea was. I didn't really know that.
Are you guys tea drinkers?
I am. I've started drinking green tea recently.
Have you really?
And I've gotten to the thing. I have some fresh mint out on my deck, and I put fresh mint in the tea.
Oh, that's nice.
And I cut off a few slices of ginger, and I put ginger in it, and the ginger with the mint in the green tea tastes fantastic.
That's really good. A friend of mine got me hooked on green tea a few years ago when I was sick, and I noticed drinking the green tea and drinking a fair amount of it made me feel a lot better. So I don't know if there's anything to be said for that.
It is healthy, and it actually there are a lot of medicinal benefits for green tea.
Green tea is good. Green tea with milk is also good, like a combination. It's the stuff that the Indians and the Pakistanis.
You bring up something. Yeah. I've heard a myth that once you add milk to tea, you've completely shot the health benefits. This is something we need to look at.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I don't know the real answer.
Yeah,
to that.
I don't know. Hmm.
Now the Chinese call tea chai.
Do they really?
So do the Indians and Pakistanis and Iranians.
Yeah, but their chai is like different. It's different than the Chinese chai because they put in the milk and they boil it a lot. It's a different kind of deal. Low fat baked goods. You always see low fat.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever noticed that it's never both low fat and low calorie?
Exactly.
If it's low fat, it's high calorie.
Yeah.
And that's because why?
Now, here's the reason. Fat does something in addition to enhancing the flavor. It actually serves as a binder. The fat serves as a binder to hold the product together. When you reduce the fat, it just falls apart. And it's flaky. So in order to bind it together again, they have to add another binder that doesn't have fat. So they add sugar.
Mm-hmm.
They pump in enough sugar to bind the product together. So they pump in enough sugar to bind the product together. And now it is low fat. Now it's high calorie.
Right.
But then it tastes too sweet.
And it's not just sugar that they add. It's artificial sugars and like the worst
kind. Like corn syrup and stuff like that.
Like fructose, like high fructose corn syrup. Exactly.
And then what happens? It tastes too sweet. So in order to cancel out the sweetness, they add salt.
Yeah. Which is a killer.
My God,
so
yeah.
It is low fat. But it's high calorie and high sodium.
Yeah.
So
right.
It may not be healthy.
So you'll still turn into a diabetic lardo, but you can feel comfortable about
it. I was a lardo, and I am diabetic, so I do things differently. And I will bring some of these in next week for you to taste. And you may hate them, and you can tell me so on the air.
I'll probably like them.
Okay, now what I do,
because
I really have to avoid sugar, and I hate artificial sweeteners, I use applesauce.
Oh,
that's a great idea.
To replace both sugar and fat. So I use that as a binder and as a sweetener. I will make you guys pumpkin muffins next week.
Okay.
Not dairy, no fat, and only natural sugar. Only the natural sugar that's in apples. So we'll do that next
Very
week.
Very good.
Cane sugar, by the way, is actually good for you. Natural sugars and stuff like that.
Thanks for joining us for Tech Talk Radio. Heard every Saturday on 1500 AM in Washington, 820 AM in Frederick, and 107.7 FM HD2 in the Northern Virginia suburbs. Have a question? Send it to Dr. Schertz by writing to us at techtalkonline.com. Learn more about our sponsors at Stratford University by going to stratford.edu. Tech Talk resumes next week here on Federal News Radio. Join us then, won't you?
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT-FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com. This paid commercial, may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers.